Some grow nuts, some grow leaves. Either way you look at it, we're talking trees with John Eisenhower on Rosie on the House.
Aside from the monsoons, what other factors are we looking at when we're talking risk assessment with our trees? What other vulnerable items should we be looking for?
Well, you know, speaking of risk assessment, there's a real art and science to this. All across the world right now, there's a tree risk assessment qualification and training that a lot of arborists are acquiring. You know, and it does. It's, it gives you a level of skill in being able to assess the risk, and they measure certain dimensions of that risk in terms of the target. That is the value of those objects that might be in the way of a tree that could fall or a branch that could fall. High pedestrian areas, a home, buildings, high value property, and then they also talk about the size of the branch that might fall, if it's going to be an entire tree failure, or if it's going to be a 18-inch diameter, 12-inch, 6-inch, 3-inch diameter branch would be have the most likelihood of failing. And they quantify the risk so that they can either mitigate the risk or determine that a tree might need to come down if it's too dangerous to keep. But yeah, there's a real... It's good to get a qualified arborist who has had a level of training that would give them the ability to, of course, there's a lot of testing measures we can do. We can do a visual tree assessment, just looking at the root system of the tree, the trunk, the branches, and determine through just observation if there are obvious fungal conks at the base of the tree or some actual architectural problems within the tree that are obvious to the eye, and we can make some determinations. There's also some other testing we can do. We can use a sounding mallet around the tree to see if it can hear any hollow areas underneath the bark, which would indicate that there's some decay and maybe cavities within the tree. Then there's some more sophisticated testing using a resistograph and some more invasive testing methods to determine if there's some decay and cavities inside the tree that are not obvious from the outside. And that helps to be able to make some decisions, because it's a shame to have to lose large trees. Some people see evidence of what they think is a problem with a tree that would require it to be taken down, and we've been able to go and say no, that's the risk is very low. The percentage chance of there being a tree or a branch failure are so low that it's an acceptable level of risk to live with this tree in this condition. But it's important to get that evaluated by someone who's had some degree of training to be able to do that.
A texter wants to know about getting saguaros removed. It's got two in the backyard, at least 20 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
It's the plant that holds our state flower, so it's obviously protected.
Right.
What's the rules there? Do they need a risk assessment before that can be taken down?
Well, they need to contact their municipality to ask what rules and regs they have. It is a protected species, and you can't just take them out, move them, sell them. You need to get some permitting, and I'm not sure all the requirements that are involved in that, but there's a very virulent pathogen called bacterial necrosis, which affects a lot of our saguaro cacti, and it's a shame, because once the saguaro cactus is infected with this bacteria, it's hard to get rid of it, and it often will cause the tree to start to decline, and you'll start to lose some of the arms off the saguaro cactus. And if it gets deep into the trunk of the tree, it can start weakening it from the base, and it'll get into the root system. And then the tree will start to lean, and you'll start to see these big saguaro cactus with a lean. If you see those around, there is a very, very high risk of those coming down. And they're so full of water, and they're so heavy that they can cause a lot of damage when they come down. We've done a lot of risk mitigation where we've come in and we've removed an arm of a cactus on the lean side with the effort to try to save the rest of the tree, just to give it a little bit more life. And if it's in a low target area where there's no risk, even if it did fall, sometimes people will try to maintain the cactus in the landscape for a longer period of time. If there's high value targets below a saguaro cactus that has bacterial necrosis, it's a good idea to get that evaluated and maybe get the cactus taken down if needed before you start losing branches.
John, I had a 9-foot single stalk saguaro in my front yard. I came home one day and it was leaning ever so slightly. When I got to the base, I had a little pocket knife and I cut it wide open and this black ooze came out, and that was my first taste of bacterial necrosis. Yep. I had to take it down. It was already infected up into the cactus. So I hope I don't get in trouble.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone's going to be knocking on your door anytime soon. If there's a risk of a tree falling over, that's a priority. I don't think you'd need to get permitted to take a tree down that's has an imminent risk of failure and possible damage or property damage or injury. So, yeah, get those taken care of right away. Yeah, the bacterial necrosis sometimes will affect the base of the cactus because they've been planted too deep. This is really disturbing because saguaros are transplanted with very little root material, and so they'll often be dropped into the hole a little bit too deep in order to stabilize them in the soil, sometimes a foot or two deep in the soil, which is a really poor planting practice. Saguaros should be planted right at the base of the root collar and then supported with a support system. But sometimes guys will or gals will transplant them and not want to invest the time in a support system, so they'll drop them into a hole much too deep, and the trunk will be buried. Well, that buried trunk tissue often is the place where the bacterial necrosis starts getting
going. So, John, could I plant another plant in that area where the cactus had bacterial necrosis? Would that be in the dirt anywhere? Once I remove the cactus and the roots and everything,
I'd probably take any obvious root material out of there, but just leave it exposed and solarize the area. And I think it's probably pretty safe to put it back in.
Solarize was the word I was thinking of. Take it out. Give it a year.
A good few months in our summer sun, it'll bake everything out of there. But yeah, I do take all that necrotic material out of this. Out of the area before I'd plant something back in there.
And we do have a couple more talking tree points that we'll get to, but we're going to head south to Sabino Canyon and bring Barbara into the conversation. And as we do, I have this in my show book. It had come up like 4 or 5 Saturdays in a row. And finally, I've got to go get one for reference for when it comes up again. I've been sitting on this for 2 or 3 years before it came back up, but this is the actual form from the Arizona Department of Agricultural, which is the Application for Arizona Protective Plants and Wood Removal. And it's a 2-page form that you've got to fill out. You've got to know your parcel number, the legal description, proof that you are the property owner, and it's an application for removal. And you would fill this out, and there are people with trucks that specialize in saguaro transplanting. Mm-hmm. If they can get a truck into your backyard,
They can.
There's a good chance if it's in good sound, they can go
out and
transplant
and move it. Yeah, and they transplant pretty easily, but you do need to get a company that specializes in that with a special truck to move those trees the right way.
Let's bring Barbara into the conversation. See if we can help her with her tree question this morning.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. How are you doing?
Just fine.
My problem is I have a pool, and then I have a block wall, and I had oleanders and they overgrew and they actually pushed the wall down and their roots were right up on the ground and pushing against the pool, so we removed those. Now I'd like to replant something for privacy, either a tree or a shrub, but I don't know what would be good around the pool. Someone said maybe a mastic tree, but it grows slow, so I wanted something for privacy pretty soon, but I don't want litter. You know, I want something that's kind of easy maintenance. I looked at Mediterranean palms. I just don't know what to put in around the pool.
Yeah, fan palms are really nice. Mediterranean fan palms are a nice poolside plant. They're very, very low litter and easy to manage. They're not going to give you a lot size, you know, unless you spend quite a bit to buy them. Because if you buy a specimen tree that's 6 feet tall with several arms, they can be a little pricey. But that's a great choice if you can, you know, get a few of those in there. They'd be great. I'm thinking also Arizona rosewood is a nice kind of screening plant. You've got some hop seed is also another nice screening plant that might be a good alternative to the oleanders that you lost, because those you can plant on 2 or 3 foot centers and build a nice little hedge along that side to replace the oleanders.
Okay. And this evergreen pistache mastic, some have recommended that, but I don't know about it.
Yeah, the mastic is nice. It's a little pistache lentiscus, and it is slow growing, as you said. And I really had trouble finding some that have very good branch structure. They tend to have a single trunk and then a big, heavy flush of branches that from a single spot on the main stem. And it's not the best structure. I wish they would develop a few more of those that were multi-stemmed. And they're very low litter.
What about trying to grow a Photinia Frazee or something like that, Frazee?
Not familiar with that. I wish I could answer, but I can't.
Okay, and then the other one would be to go back to the waxleaf privet, or even bring in a seedless olive or a tree.
Seedless olive would be awesome. Yeah, that's a great choice. I'd stay away from the privet. They're not as sun tolerant. They can get sunburned pretty easily, and they're pretty dirty. I wouldn't have one near a pool, but all of it'd be great.
And you owe it to us to call us back and let us know what you picked and why, Barbara. We appreciate you tuning in this
and send a picture in
Saturday morning. Yeah, send us a picture as well.